Welcome to Sleeping with Sarah. I'm Sarah Albritton, a narcoleptic comedian, and this is a podcast where I interview people in my bed and we talk about sleep, comedy, and relationships. I'm happy to be part of the Laugh Factory Podcast Network. This is my 57th episode, and I interviewed LA comedian Jack Knight. We had such a great time. We talked about everything from like bad dreams to what we're gonna do when the world ends, to being in a writer's room, to having cartoon characters represent different parts of your personality, and like much more. You can follow Jack on Twitter at It's Jack Knight. That's ItsJackKnight. You can also catch Jack at Nerdmelt on April 15th at 9 p.m. You can catch me at Zany's in Chicago on April 26th and every Monday night at I.O. for PIOV at 7 p.m. at the Jason Chin Cabaret. Sleeping with Sarah is brought to you by Audible.com. Go to audibletrial.com/sleepingwithsarah to get a free audiobook of your choice. This week, I'd like to recommend A Life in Parts by Bryan Cranston. Again, that's audibletrial.com/sleepingwithsarah. If you like the podcast, please rate and review and subscribe on iTunes and iHeartRadio. You can also go to the website sleepingwithsarah.com for more info and follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Sarah Albritton. Well, let's get started with the show. Welcome to Sleeping with Sarah. I'm Sarah Albritton, and I'm here with my guest, Jack Knight.
Hello.
How'd you sleep last night, Jack?
It was all right. I was getting off a flight, and so I only had like 1 hour of sleep before I had to catch my flight. And then I came back to the hotel, and I slept for like 4 hours, and that was fucking fantastic.
So wait, how late were you up last night?
I stayed up till like 3. My plane was at like 6. Had to hop on a plane straight from that in Denver. Slept on a plane a little bit. Came to Chicago. They wouldn't let me in my room until like 1, even though I got in at like 11 or some weird time. And then got in my room finally. Had to pay like $30 early just to get in the room.
So you could take a nap?
So I could take a fucking nap. So I was being really petty about it. And I just fell asleep in the lobby.
Why don't they just have... Why don't they just have like places where you can go in early and take a nap?
No,
like,
they had the room the entire time. They like to run on a schedule because they think that they're losing money with me getting in there early. They're just being petty.
That's so ridiculous. But splitting up your sleep that much like that is kind of wild.
Yeah, I'm not proud of it.
Yeah.
I can't wait to get back to LA and sleep.
I can't do that. I can't, like, sleep for an hour and then, you know, like, this is why I'm always Southwest. Because if I ever sleep, like, I usually miss, like, I miss my flight back from LA the last time I was there.
Oh shit, what?
Because it was at 6 in the morning and I'm an idiot and I went to a comedy store and hung out and didn't get back till 2 a.m. And I was
like, with narcolepsy, I'm assuming you can't sleep for 4 hours. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I can sleep for 4 hours, but the thing is, waking up is the problem. It's like, I had to be very motivated to wake up. And for some reason, I was like, fuck that plane ride. I'm on Southwest. I can get another one.
What's your alarm tone?
Oh, I have, which one? I've got like 50.
No, you need like a solid, like, did you ever have a boyfriend?
Yep.
My homegirl, she has this thing where she had a boyfriend and she had the same ringtone their entire relationship. And it was like a special ringtone they shared. And so she hates waking up too. And so she plays that as the alarm to wake up because she hates him so much.
Oh, because that like triggers.
That triggers something emotional instead of just like a sound.
See, I have happy music. Maybe I shouldn't be no, doing something happy.
Why would you play happy music to wake up? What about waking up is happy?
You're right.
See, you probably don't even have narcolepsy. You just have stupid ass ringtones.
I just have bad ringtones.
You just have bad ringtones where it's Pharrell singing when you're trying to wake up.
It's
can't
tough.
Wake up to D'Angelo.
Yeah, maybe I should just call my ex and be like, hey, can you just shout something to this phone?
just yell cunt as loud as you can, please. And I'll know it's time to catch my flight.
Oh, that's a different kind. I think that's the next, like, rolling off the counter alarm clock idea.
I hope so. I'll sell it. Let's sell that.
Yeah, that sounds good.
That's a good app to have our exes wake us up.
Yeah, have your ex wake you up. And
if for dudes, I think there should be a good who the fuck is this bitch to wake up to, and I think that'll
get
work.
Your lazy ass.
Get
up.
Your lazy ass up.
Get your lazy ass up and get a job.
Jesus Christ.
So you're from LA then?
I'm from Seattle, Washington.
Okay.
From Seattle, Washington, live in LA, been living in LA for like 4 years. It's great.
Yeah. You like it?
I love it. I know people always say you can't be a dope stand-up unless you live in New York, but, you know, I'd rather be happy than be a dope stand-up.
And I think a lot of people, I think just coming from Chicago and New York, you have this mentality that L.A. sucks or L.A., you know, like, I don't know why.
Well, it's bread.
But not until you go over there.
Yeah, then you realize...
Everyone's happy.
We're just happy. And you're just reflecting the fact that your life sucks and make us... It's just petty shit.
Yeah.
It's a chip on your shoulder. I'll be mad, too. The other day, I went to the beach, and what is it? It's March now. Yeah. I went to the beach in February, yeah, and I put my feet in the water, and it was warm. And at the same time, I knew at the exact same time, there was a New York open micer, like, trying to sign up in snow.
Yeah.
And I had, like, a dope-ass show at the Comedy Store later that day.
Oh,
and I
was just fun. Like,
yeah, I would hate me, too. I would hate my life. I would say Jack Knight is this terrible stand-up comedian if I have to sign up for shitty open mics and do 5 terrible sets a night and then still think I'm, and still be bad.
Yeah.
That's...
Well, and also having to be at a place, too, where you gotta, like, pay, you know, you have a minimum and pay things.
Was it, like, $5 for an open mic or something?
In New York. In Chicago, what's great about Chicago, Chicago doesn't have any of that.
Chicago breeds such great comedians. I mean, but...
Well, because we can get about the same time. Like, I can go up, like, what, Monday night I went up three times. Mm-hmm. I had new stuff I want to work out.
Mm-hmm.
I could have gone to a fourth one, but I was like, I'm a little tired, I'm gonna go home.
That's a good... Well,
yeah,
LA,
but it's nice. LA,
it matters who you are,
mm-hmm,
and it also matters how bad you want it. Because I easily do 2 spots a night every night.
Yeah, but you can get longer spots too. Because when you do a spot like the store or something, you'll get 15.
Yeah, and then there's like some independent shows where they let you do like 20s.
Yeah, and even you can do those, like, I've even gone and done, like, a UCB show where I opened up for an improv group or mm-hmm something, and yeah, I got yeah to do 10 to 15. I yeah love doing those here. Those are great audiences because they haven't heard any of your stuff.
And they just want to hear something other than improv.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's a lot, and there's some cool indie shows there, too, like a Good Heroin show.
Good
Heroin's
great with Matt Engelbretson and Dave Ross, very yeah funny, good buddies.
And I haven't been to it, but I heard Sauce is really good, too.
Sauce is dope. Sauce is really dope, but there's, like, more. There's a... Rabbit Hole with Roy Scovel.
Yeah.
At Nerdmelt, there's Hot Tub, there's random pickup ones, there's Repentance
yeah
with Rami Youssef and Hamid Weinberg at UCB. There's a bunch of shows.
Yeah, there's a bunch. There's a good indie scene.
I like
LA,
it. I like
think,
the LA hate.
Yeah.
I like the LA hate.
You think does it feed you to do better?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Because it makes me feel it's funny.
Yeah.
It's funny. Like, okay, but you guys don't have Ali Wong.
Yeah.
Ali Wong's better than everybody, so.
Oh, she's that special is fucking great.
No, she's unreal, incredibly good.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I think, like, and I think even people that are really good that go to New York eventually go to LA.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
We're the finish line. You're just mad that you're not at the finish line.
Yeah, I guess you're right. And how long were you doing stand-up before you moved to LA?
I did stand-up one time.
One time? You're yeah like, I'm moving to LA!
Yeah, I was the extreme. My confidence levels were too high.
Yeah,
too high. I was 18. My homegirl, my homie Darius, made me. He was. We're all talking shit in cooking class, and he was like, "Well, if you're so funny, go do stand up then." I was like, "Well, I will," and I did it, and I ate a cold dick, just the coldest dick you can ever eat. And I was like, "Well, that's the worst that could happen." All right, I'll do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I moved straight to LA that summer after graduating and then been doing stand-up comedy ever since.
Shit, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So you've been up 4 years then. Mm-hmm. That's great. That's awesome. That's pretty cool that you've gotten to grow that much there. I think that is proof with all the LA haters that you can grow quickly
well,
in LA.
Well, you got to be okay with being sad. And I'm from Seattle.
You're so, from that's
yeah,
like rainy all the
yeah,
time.
Yeah, so I've
like...
been depressed since I was like 5. I've been in this shit. You ain't gonna scare me.
Well, we've been in, like, even though this winter didn't happen, we've been in, like, negative 25 degrees. Negative 25 is, like, the high for the day.
Yeah. I mean,
like, that's depressing.
Yeah. But Chicago's still, like, kind of bright and vibrant and people...
In the summer, yeah. And right now it's not bad because it's been, like, 50 degree February. It's been really, mm-hmm, like, warm. Because of global warming, because it is real, people. It's actually real.
No, it's not. Prove it. Whenever Florida's underwater, I'll believe it.
Yeah. Hopefully not California, right?
No, we'll hopefully we'll get like a good like seismic Like the tectonic plates are right there.
What do you think will happen to LA? Like, do you think LA is just going to migrate to somewhere that's really safe? They're going to be like, hey, it's happening, people. Let's move all the studios. Let's move everywhere somewhere.
Well, at the end of the day, LA is too rich for global warming. So they're going to figure something out. We have too many wealthy people for that. Like, even the reality of what I hope to have, like, how I want the world to end is I want that volcano in, what is it? I think it's like in Idaho or Washington or somewhere over there. That one's supposed to explode and take out the whole West Coast.
So
when that happens, when it takes out the whole West Coast, it won't reach SoCal, and I'll be there.
Yeah.
But I'm gonna get my mom and shit out of Washington when it blows up, like, so she's not like Pompeii and she's like frozen and shit.
But it's and all the people, the rich people in LA, will find out about this before it happens.
No, Elon Musk got an idea. He gonna make sure me and Spielberg are right.
Yeah, I mean, he's already building tunnels and shit. Yeah. You think that's all he's building under there? No, I don't think so.
He has a rich people. Rich people have like this fucking Avengers-esque floating cloud that they already have prepared just in case California glows over. And all I'm doing is just trying to get as many stand-up sets as possible to be able to be on, like, I know I won't be on the first ballot, but just like put me on the reserves.
So you think that there's like a secret society of rich people in LA that are like together for when LA could like be destroyed by
their... Of course. Yeah. And they're only going to bring like 3 black people. It's gonna be Shaq, Samuel Jackson, and Michael B. Jordan. Oh, we need a girl. Shaq, Beyonce.
Yeah.
And Michael B. Jordan.
But Beyonce's got houses everywhere. She could just go to whatever house.
Yeah,
she's
but
probably got. Do
you think she has a floating house? We see Beyonce so much that we think that she's Elon Musk level.
Yeah.
But in reality, she's. You know,
yeah.
They still need to get Katy Perry. They still need to get Demi Lovato. They still need to get all these people before Adele. Yeah. You're gonna let Adele die.
Adele is from London. She's got places. London.
Yeah, but like, what if she's in LA when it all pops off?
Oh, that's a good point.
She still needs to be on the ship, the flying ship.
Flying ship.
The flying castle that they probably have built, like Totoro.
Oh my god! Do you think they're just gonna take all of LA and just float it up in the air?
For the rich people, yeah, they're just gonna take all of Bel Air and just fucking push it up into the sky. And then everybody, and then like a couple people from NoHo, they're gonna take Roscoe's with them. Maybe like a good sushi spot.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna hopefully get into these little.
I'll live in the smallest apartment in one of those neighborhoods, and just hope for the best.
That's all you can do. My whole thing is just like, I mean, I know it's coming up, but I'm just gonna do as much cool shit as possible when the world ends. Just take that 9, clock that thing back, and just put it right in between my teeth.
Wow, do you think that would happen like in our lifetimes?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think something. So we've been fucking up too much.
Yeah.
God ain't gonna just let us do all this shit without some. We need like a good, maybe an earthquake or a volcano, but just like a good 10G, 20G people dead, so we can restart and realize what life is.
Well, I think that honestly, if you look back in history with like the bubonic plague and like all these things, like. But if those things didn't happen, how overpopulated would the world be at this point?
Right.
It is a natural thing, and
nature got to kick in.
And some people think some people might think I'm like crude by saying this, but like when you talk about tsunamis or volcanoes going off or hurricanes or those kinds of things, I think it's like the Earth's way of balancing itself so that it's not overpopulated.
You ever be like watching the news and you see like there's a new tsunami that just hits China and Taiwan and all those places all the time because they be over there being assholes. They be fucking with the Dalai Lama and being mean. You think we're just going to be this mean and not have anything happen to us? Something's going to happen. There's going to be an asteroid that hits Nebraska.
Oh, wow.
Just something has to, because we've been dickheads for a minute now.
Yeah.
Just someone needs to fire off a nuke at us. Let us be like, we just need to get socked in the face. America's just like a bratty rich kid who needs to get socked in the face one good...
I mean, I think we have just the leader that probably will get us socked in the face.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I don't want to die. But like... I'm with it. 50,000? Off the table? Hopefully none of them like do cool shit. Just a bunch of like... Just a bunch of subway workers.
Wow. That's crazy. Like that... That's pretty intense. Like, but I understand the world needs a balance.
Why is it intense?
I don't know. It just feels
because
like
you care about you. You're making it selfish.
No,
you gotta think about the greater good of like human life.
I'm thinking of the other people too. I'm thinking about like
I want people to live forever. And I think the only way people can live forever is if a lot of people die at terms.
Okay.
That makes sense.
No, that, I mean, that does. That's, well, or we just find those other planets to go on to, right?
Well, how are we going to get there?
Well, it's like the same way. How are we going to float LA above the
helicopter pass. They have the gas.
People going to find a way.
They're going to find a way, but like going on to a new planet, then it's going to be like, then we're going to all find out finally that classism's the real thing. And then we're gonna real, and then they're not gonna bring any Mexicans. This could be a whole weird thing. There's seven planets, right? There's
like seven. Yeah, they found seven. It is not interesting. They found those just like after Donald Trump was like inaugurated.
They knew it was. They're just like, there's hope.
Yeah,
we're good, guys. Everyone, nobody kill yourself. I know that Trump's here, but we have seven, and I'm glad that there's seven. I hope that they spread us all out. I'm not like a, you know.
Do you think that they were divided over like certain types of people, like just the rich people all on one planet, and like the.
I hope it'll be divided by culture, and then there'll be like subculture. Like, I hope there's
how
like
cool would it be if it was all the creative people in one place? So when I went,
no, you gotta spread them out.
I know, but when I went to college, we had a dorm. You could only live in that dorm if you're a theater, music, art, or dance major. So like everyone, all the coolest people were living in the same dorm.
That's lame. You guys were all dorks.
It was fun. Yeah. Maybe we were dorks.
I don't want a whole dork planet. Then because if there's a dork planet, that means it's gonna be like we're the jock planet. They're gonna bring nukes and like fucking lasers, and they're gonna blow you guys up for being dorks.
That's a good point.
You gotta spread everybody out.
That's a good point.
But I do hope there's like an Atlanta planet.
Oh yeah,
that would be great. Where it's all twerking and trap music. I would live there, and I'd just stay in the cuts.
That would be wild though. I don't know if that'll happen in our lifetimes, but it's pretty.
Getting those planets?
Yeah, getting on those planets.
I bet you in our lifetimes, and this is if we, you know, diabetes and stuff, but I bet you someone's gonna go there. Mm-hmm. Like we'll see someone go.
Yeah.
Like I don't think we'll see.
They might not come back.
Yeah, I mean they're not gonna come back.
Yeah.
But they're gonna be on like the, you know, the passenger. What's that movie with J-Law?
I haven't seen that one yet.
It was pretty bad, but the whole thing where it's like, it's probably going to take them like 40 years to get there, so we're going to see like one of our grandchildren's going to go up there.
Yeah.
And we're going to be dead by the time they reach it.
Yeah, well, we're already screwing this planet up so much, so we got to do something, right? As long as this is all real, because you've heard of the Elon Musk thing about he thinks
we're just android?
Yeah, the 50-50 chance that we're living in an AI.
But like, Elon Musk is just a dude who has enough time to think about shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like imagine being so rich that you can sit down and really theorize that we're all AIs.
Well, because the thing is, like, he's got money that just makes money for him. So even when he's doing nothing, he's making a ton of money. Mm-hmm. So it's like...
He lives a great life.
Yeah. I don't know, but maybe you get bored doing... I mean, that's why he's got to do all this stuff, like make tunnels and...
Yeah. He's so past our way of thinking that he doesn't even jerk off, probably. He doesn't even, like, need pussy. He's just like... He just lives.
Wow.
It's a different... Him and Jaden Smith, man. They got it. They got it all.
Him and Jaden Smith?
Jaden Smith is a different level of man.
Yeah?
Yeah. Because think about Jaden Smith. Think about what Jaden Smith is. He was born unto the coolest dude ever to live, Will Smith, mm-hmm. in my opinion. Super rich around everybody. He was 13, 14, knowing Frank Ocean, knowing Kendrick Lamar, Kanye. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have the need that we both have to be cool or to be liked or to be accepted because he already is. So he's past that thing and he's working on this thing, which is all like information and knowledge. And he only gets to live in... That's why he does weird shit like build pyramids and fucking go and dig sand holes and lives in sand for a while. Because he's past where we're like, I need to do stand-up so people like me. He's past that shit.
I never thought about it that way.
He's brilliant. Because his way of thinking is going to bring us to where we're supposed to be. But we're like, he's dumb. Because we're dumb.
Yeah.
That's why 50,000 people need to die.
Do you agree with other people? Like with other people that do weird shit? Like Shia LaBeouf, like doing his weird art gallery experiments?
What is it called? Meta... He's the same thing, but he's not.
Yeah.
He's super aware of it, but he kind of doesn't care, but he still kind of cares. Shia is not the same level as Jaden Smith. Yeah. Shia is still...
I didn't think so, but I was just kind of curious, because he does weird stuff too.
Shia got a good heart.
Yeah.
And he's just following his heart, but I don't think he's ever... He still has a need to
be liked.
Be accepted and be liked and be loved.
I mean, that would be awesome to get to that level. I don't know if I'll ever, like, I
feel no,
like
you're born into that.
Yeah.
We're already conditioned. We fucking grew up watching Recess or whatever cartoon, mm-hmm. and we're like, I'm going to be that guy, I'm going to be that guy, and then we all get bred into those little...
Do you think part of it has to do with, like, the cartoons we watch and, like, the stereotypes that are written into the cartoons?
Yeah, what does every black girl say on Twitter? Mm-hmm. Representation matters.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? There's a bunch of young kids who are going to grow up trying to be Donald Glover now. I grew up trying to be Will Smith mm-hmm. and the black dude from Hey Arnold. And Ren from Ren and Stimpy. You pick out your fucking people.
Yeah.
Bugs Bunny. Put them all into one. And then you become... That's your personality.
Wow. If everyone's personality can be broken into, like, their cartoon characters that they watch as a kid.
Mm-hmm. Easily. Every single person. You ever met, like, a... And this is... I'm not trying to insult them. But, like, you ever met, like, a foreigner who, like, comes from a place where they didn't really have cartoons? And then they, like, kind of pick up the language. They know how to converse. But you just, like... You're just weird. It's because they don't have our American culture to, like, make personality out of. They just have, like, their parents. So they're just acting like their parents.
You're right,
but we're all raised by TV, so we all act like fucking and we're cow the, and we're chicken kind of and cat dog.
And we're kind of the idiots, you know?
We're not the idiots. We're just... It is what it is.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Man, that's crazy. I do think a lot about the Disney characters and the women, especially the women
because all act like princesses and need to be saved by men, and that's the fucking hierarchy. And
can I tell you what made me so happy though? I went to Orlando recently because I got family down there. We went to like the Disney Springs for a day or whatever, and I saw a little girl dressed up like Rey from Star Wars instead of a princess.
That's
and I was
tight.
Like, that made me so happy. Yeah. I was like, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. It's not being sexualized. It's being cool. She has a lightsaber in her hand. She's a badass.
Representation
and like, that just
matters.
Made me so happy.
Representation
and
matters.
One thing I did love about that movie is that Rey's character could have, like, if you think about the lines of the script, it could have been a guy,
mm-hmm.
which made me so happy. It mm-hmm. wasn't like specifically... anything like that wasn't a plot line or
and
anything
she's
weird.
Saving the strong black dude the whole time.
Yeah.
Not to make him black, but she's saving the strong male.
Yeah. And I think that that's what's really
Mulan,
cool.
Mulan.
Yeah.
That was another one where it's like, I was very happy that people, young women were like, I want to be like Mulan mm-hmm. instead of Sleeping Beauty.
Yeah. And even like if you look at Brave, where the end of it, she didn't want to get married to a prince. She wanted mm-hmm. to have her own independence mm-hmm. and like Frozen. The goal wasn't, like, to get guys. It was more the relationship between the sisters. Like, they're changing. You know, it's been a bit, but they're, like, adjusting.
Media matters. All this shit fucking, like, when people... Like, when you see, like those little Instagram hoes mm-hmm. and shit, and people be getting mad at us, like, you know, like, they be big titties, fake mm-hmm. ass and all that, and people be mad at, like, Nicki Minaj or Kim Kardashian. For her individually, I don't think we should be, like, mad at her, but in reality, yeah, that's... pretty fucked up.
Yeah.
Like, I get it that they're, like, people and they're strong, but, like, you know, that's really, really fucked up what you're doing, Kylie Jenner.
Yeah.
That's a really fucked up thing you're doing. Period. Well, like, bottom line of it all.
Again, it's also how she was brought up. You forget she was, like, 8 years old when her older sisters were modeling.
Man, but and that's so what she got. Like, that was her Ren and Stimpy.
Yeah.
That was her Hey Arnold.
Like,
was Kim.
Seeing that stuff. And it's just a... interesting thing, but also to like, I also feel like the whole fashion industry with sexualizing girls at like 16 and 17 and 18, like it really.
Well, don't blame me. That's gay men.
Yeah. I'm not blaming anybody.
I'd be at the house.
I'm just saying like that.
Y'all need to start yelling at gay men for trying to get us to fuck 16-year-olds.
Because
gay men determine who men fuck.
That's a very interesting point.
Gay men decide who we think is pretty, and then you guys get mad at men.
No, I'm not. I just think. It's interesting because if I look at an 18-year-old boy, you know, a man, I am not attracted to an 18-year-old guy.
No.
That's not attractive to me at all. I'm probably minimum, you know, like, when they get to like 25, 30, you know, that's more.
Where do you get that from, though?
From media tells me. Like, mm-hmm. everything tells me. Like, fashion, everything. Like, people, guys that aren't scrawny, guys that have muscles,
right.
you know, these sort of things. And it's weird because it's not even our own natural selection anymore. It's what the media is deciding what is.
Right.
Because, like, back in, like, the 1910s, 1920s...
And I'm told to like Ariana Grande. But if I were to meet Ariana Grande in real life, like, that's a little-ass girl.
No, she's so skinny.
Yeah, it's like, I don't want... In real life, I'd be like, I don't want that. But because it's so pushed in my face, I'm like, okay, I guess.
And so many guys are attracted to bigger women but are afraid to be open about it because society seems to dislike that, you know?
What's bigger?
Just curvier or in general, like women overall.
I think, well, that's a culture thing. Because yeah. All my niggas love thick bitches.
Well, maybe it is a culture thing because I feel like maybe white guys don't feel comfortable saying that or aren't, you know?
Bitches or niggas?
What?
Which word?
Oh. Well, I mean, they don't feel comfortable saying that they like thicker girls.
Yeah. I mean, it's all coming around.
Yeah.
I hope. I mean, I thought technically we're supposed to like thicker women because our brains are like, we're still animals. So we're supposed to like, I need to see something that looks like I should be impregnating it. And skinny girls don't look like something you can impregnate.
Yeah.
Like, as a pure animal primal shit, when I see like a Beyonce or Kerry Washington or Demi Lovato, whoever be thick or whatever, I'd be like, yeah, she has childbearing hips. You hold the hips, you go, bleh. And you put all the stuff inside of her and then she goes, and my baby's here. Next one.
Childbearing hips.
Yeah. Right, but then you see a skinny girl, it's just like, I don't want to come at you. I feel like I'm going to hurt everything that you are.
Well, I also feel like just the boniness would make the sex really uncomfortable. It wouldn't be as fun, you know what I mean?
Well, I'm also a skinny dude, so when I can't fuck skinny women.
Oh, you can't? Oh, yeah.
No, because then it's going to sound like two sword fights. It's going to sound like people fencing. But yeah.
Yeah. So how did you start your show that you have, the cartoon?
It's not my show. It's the Lucas Brothers show.
But Lucas, you write it though.
Right? Yeah, it's off the air now. That was like when I first started comedy. I got that job like 1 year into comedy.
You did?
Yeah, fucking lucky as shit.
How did you get that?
I was friends with this comedian named Gerard Carmichael.
Mm-hmm.
Who? Wait, when is this coming out?
What?
When is this podcast?
Coming out? Probably in a couple weeks.
Oh, okay.
Does he have something?
Watch his HBO special. Yeah. Comes out this weekend. He's
awesome.
Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant comic. But no, he was like my big bro, and then he told the Lucas Brothers about me, and they saw me somewhere at some show, and they had me come in for a meeting, and they were high as shit, and it was this dude named Nick Weidenfeld, who is like the head creative guy at Vice now. And I was like this 19-year-old, 20-year-old fucking dumb kid just sitting in a room all nervous as shit. And they're like, what do you like? I was like, I like cartoons a lot. And they're like, we like cartoons. And then we started talking about Fresh Prince. And then we started talking about like Sister Sister. And out of nowhere, in my interview for the job, we end up smoking.
Now that's how you know an interview is going well. When you start smoking weed with the people.
So now we're like just smoking weed, talking about Sister Sister. And then I was like,
I like that show. I remember that.
Yeah. Then I don't know if you watched the episode, but then in the middle of the interview, I was like, Sister, sister, sister. I was just too high. I was like, sister, sister, sister. And they laughed. And I was like, oh, that'd be funny if there's like another sister, but she's mad that she's not a part of Sister, Sister. And then that was the whole episode. And then that was the first episode that I came in for. And then I stayed and we wrote like this Will Smith episode. We wrote all these fucking... It's going to be one of those shows that, you know, just watch it. It's just...
Yeah.
Get high, put some funnies in front of your face, and it's just good old funny shit.
That's awesome.
Yeah, but that was a while ago. Yeah.
But that's cool that you ended up getting to, you know, have a writing credit to do that and all that.
Yeah,
that's
it was insane. It was really, because it was like a writer's room with like people I was like looking up to, and then they're just all there. Like,
wow.
Like it would be like Kevin Barnett, Jermaine Fowler.
Oh.
I ended up going on tour with him because of that. Sean O'Connor was in the room. Dan St. Germain would come in the room. Michael Che. It was like, and I just sit there like, just nervous.
How many people were in the writer's room usually?
Like five.
Like five? Yeah. Okay.
If it was like big days, the Lucas Brothers were rarely there.
Yeah.
They only liked writing scripts. So okay. They'd be in the house and they'd like send some ideas and then we riff on them and then we send it to them and they write the whole script.
So you send like the outline and then they wrote the script?
Mm-hmm.
Cool. I'm always interested because eventually I'd like to be in a writer's room. So.
You will. It gets annoying, but it's nothing's better than stand up. But writing in the right writing room, and I've been in a few now, but the right writing room is incredible.
Yeah. Like, which other rooms have you been in?
I wrote for the ESPYs. I helped out with the MTV Awards. I did a couple off times for like CC shows. and like CG programming. Right now I'm liking, there's this show coming out this coming year called Big Mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a Nick Kroll show and John Mulaney show. And it's the dude, Mark and Jen and Jesus Christ, I'm drawing a blank. Andrew.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's a show about like, growing up and puberty and this, an adult comedy. It's funny.
Yeah.
But I'm in a room every day with like Nick Kroll and John Mulaney, who are like the funniest human beings alive. Yeah.
That's gotta be awesome.
Yeah.
You learn so much from them.
I get discouraged a lot from them, but yeah.
They're like, hey, that idea doesn't work.
Yeah. Well, they just say some of the, it's a very positive room, but they say some of the funniest things that I'm like, what am I even doing here?
Well,
and then we do I'm like a character on it. And so like we do table reads and they're friends with like the most famous, funniest people on earth. So it'll be me at a table read. I used to come early, sit down, and I like forget who's coming in the room. And then you just see Maya Rudolph walk in.
Oh.
And then you see Jordan Peele walk in. And then you see fucking John Daly walk in. And then it just goes on and on. And it's Stephen Colbert. And you're just like sitting there. And you're just like, okay, I gotta be funny in front of all these legends.
Yeah, I guess that is, and it's more intimate, so it's not like you're doing a show where there's hundreds of people or whatever, and then they might be in the audience, in a room with 10 people.
It's kind of tight because for table reads, they like bring the whole animation staff, and they bring like the workers in the room, and people laugh. And so it feels like you're almost...
Oh, that's nice.
It feels like you have an audience, so you kind of like... You get in your performance.
After a couple laughs, then you forget about
Karen. Yeah. Like, I'm always nervous in my first line, right? And I always kind of fumble it, but I still kind of get a laugh, and I'm like, okay, I'm good.
Well, especially with animation, because I've done a couple voiceover character things, so it's like trying to find the right voice for it. You want to make sure you sound right.
Yeah. And fortunately, the character is just literally me, so I just...
Oh, that's nice.
Like, sound like you. I'm like, I could do that. That's good.
That's nice. I know you mentioned Jordan Peele earlier. Have you seen Get Out yet?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
I thought that was done really, really well.
It was really, really good.
Yeah. I don't want to share any spoilers on the air, but I will say, I don't think this is a spoiler.
Lil Rel dies. Lil Rel dies in the movie. From an Asian woman.
He was a great part of that movie,
though.
He's hilarious.
One of the funniest dudes on earth.
I thought that was great. What I did like also is there's a kind of a sleep related thing, I feel like. I think that the visual thing he does relates to the sleep paralysis.
When he goes into the couch?
Yeah.
And that's in the trailer, so we're not ruining it.
Yeah. So that's a sleep paralysis. Mm-hmm. So sleep paralysis is a thing I experience sometimes where I'm half awake and my body is still paralyzed, but I wake up and I can hear what's going around me, but I can't wake up. And that was probably one of the best visual representations of sleep paralysis I've ever seen.
You kind of just drop into your own self, into a sunken place.
Yeah, that's what they call it in the movie. But like that is like the most realistic way I've seen it visualized on film. And for me, that's really cool. Because I try to explain it to people and they just don't get it.
You're kind of just floating in this space.
Well, I feel my body sometimes. Sometimes I hallucinate on top of it. Like there'll be like a spider or something that's not real, that's scary, and I can't move and do anything. Like I have no control over my body. But I can hear what's going on. And I used to do it in class, like when I was in high school. And I used to hear everything that was going on in class, but I wouldn't be able to wake up until someone said my name or touched me.
Jesus.
And it's pretty scary. It's as horrifying as they make in the movie, which is really nice that he visualizes
it. It's very nice of you guys to visualize my horror.
Yes. Now I can explain it. Next time people are like, oh, have you seen Get Out?
That's
what it feels like. I used to do that every morning. My dad, before he knew I had narcolepsy, he'd yell at me. He wouldn't understand why I wouldn't get up out of bed. He would yell and yell. And he feels bad about it now. Yeah, but they didn't know. And only 25% of people have narcolepsy know it. So my mom wasn't diagnosed. Mm. Sometimes it's hereditary. Like my mom was diagnosed after I was, and she's got a way, way less severe case than I do. It's not that bad though. You said, do you have a weird sleep thing?
I got bad dreams when I sleep. When I sleep for a short amount of time, I have bad dreams.
Yeah?
When I sleep for a long time, it's regular, but if I take a nap, or if I like, it's always a bad dream.
Like if it's like less.
I think it's because I'm a pessimist.
Yeah.
I think your brain kind of angles your dreams where your mind is. So I spend all day being like, man, I wish the world would burn. And then I go to sleep. I'm like, oh shit, the world's burning. This is bad.
You go to sleep and then that volcano's gone off before you can warn anybody.
Yeah, it's a lot of like, and I always remember it, but it's always like something, where like I'll get something, I'll fall in love with something, and then someone kills it in front of me. Oh. So I have a lot of those. Which I think has something to do with some, I don't give a fuck.
Did you write them down at all or no?
No, I'm going to let it just be.
You're just going to let it go. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't give a fuck. And you need something.
Is it under a certain number of hours or is it just like anything less than like 8 hours?
If I take a nap, it's always just like, bow. Like, like even when I took a nap today and then like I got my first flying dog and then like this dude came in and killed it in front of me.
Oh my God. You got this flying dog?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's awesome. Did he have wings?
No, he just flew.
Oh, that's awesome.
It was a dog who flew. And we like, it was like.
That's like the perfect pet.
It was just like a montage of us doing shit together. And then some like guy came in and just fucking put a bullet in his brain. I'm just like, ah, Jesus. And
that I wake sucks. Up. That's so sad. So do you always wake up in a bad mood?
I wake up like, that's how that went. that happened how it happened. And now I'm this way. Never sad. Just like, ah.
Just let that happen.
That happened. Fuck. That was a lot of information at once.
That is. That's crazy. Yeah. So, something else we talk about in this podcast is relationships. Are you currently seeing anybody?
Mm-mm.
No.
Mm-mm.
Do you find it hard as a traveling stand-up, I guess?
I think I'm just a bad... I'll be a bad boyfriend. I don't want to do that to nobody.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Actually, that's probably really appreciated overall.
I just know for... I mean, I'm not like a cheater or nothing, but I know you'd be fourth place.
Yeah.
And I think the only way I can be a good boyfriend is if they're second place.
Comedy first.
Comedy will always be first.
Yeah.
But like, if I find the right girl, you might can squeeze in front of my mama.
Mm-hmm.
But that's, you gotta work. And then, you know, I like my friends a lot.
Yeah.
Like, I know I'm not ready for a girlfriend because I'll hang out with, like, really very cool chicks. And then my friends come around. And I'm like, they look like they're having so much fun. I don't want to talk to you.
You want to go hang out with your friends instead.
Yeah. They're funny.
Yeah.
They're professional comedians.
Of course.
I hang out with the funniest people. And then she's over here like, hey, huh? It's like, you're not even... Ugh.
That's what I think it's hard, too. It's like... when I go on dates with guys that aren't comedians, well, I don't really date comedians, but mm-hmm. when I go on to guys that are normal.
When you hang out with someone who isn't a comedian.
Yeah. And they tell their, like, one funny story,
mm-hmm.
and you're like, this is so boring.
Yeah, it's really bad.
It's bad. And mm-hmm. I agree. Sometimes it is more fun just to, you know, go hang out with your friends.
Mm-hmm. I like it. I like meeting girls if they don't see me do stand up.
Oh, yeah?
Because then they try and be funny.
Oh. Oh, really? I feel like guys try to do that. I didn't realize girls try to do that.
Well, I mean, guys try to do it. I'm pretty sure it's a lot more aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
But girls are like, you know, you do whatever you do, they try and like sway you in that way.
Yeah.
And guys are much more the attacker in the relationship, so it's a lot more obnoxious. To whereas a girl would like say like a quick jab. Girls are mean.
Yeah.
Girls are very fucking mean.
Oh,
so when they're trying to be funny with me, they're just like, I like tease them like, well, your shoes are fucking stupid. And they'll be like, your dad was in your life. And it's like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
You had somebody say stuff like that? That's crazy.
Well, they're trying to be funny and they know like I'm a...
They're trying to be funny and they say, well, I think they just don't...
Know how to be funny? Yeah.
Just don't know how to be funny. Yeah. They've been watching too much Mean Girls.
Right.
They just say, because in
their head, when I say something, they just think I see something. I say a mean thing about it. So, but girls' brains work so, they think a lot harder about shit. So there are things that they can pull that is so much meaner than me being like, your shirt's ugly.
This is why I don't do roasts. Because firstly, I'm not like a mean person, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like if I had to be mean, that I would cross that line and be too mean. Like,
Have you seen these roasts lately?
I have. They're
going in.
Yeah, but the thing is, I don't want to be that mean to people, I guess, I feel.
Yeah, but it's, I mean, it's all loves and hugs afterwards.
Yeah.
Someone got to tell you.
Yeah.
Someone got to tell you you're a piece of shit, nothingness.
Feel like you would just roast the whole country, be like, hey, All you guys, at least 50,000 of you. Let's take the dumbest ones of you guys.
But no. Bobby, that's the dumbest. Like, we need to get, like, from every, like, I want, like, a really smart dude, rich people. Like, but we just need to get across the board 50 GL.
Yeah. Do you think that that's why they did, like, sacrifices, like, back in the day?
No, they did sacrifices because they had no books. And they were just like, we need to make sense of all this. Someone has a funny joke. I think it's Hampton Young. You know him?
No, I don't.
He has this funny joke where he says, you think the first guy who thought of sacrificing was like a real dickhead? He was like, man, it's raining a lot and our crops aren't working. We should kill Phil. That'll fix everything. It's killing Phil. And then, like, later we find out that, like, Phil was, like, really mean to him earlier.
That's a complete possibility.
Probably.
That's funny. So I always ask people, as we're winding down the podcast, what are your dreams for the future for yourself?
Like in comedy or just in life?
Both. You can answer both.
I want to learn how to fly a plane.
Yeah?
I want to learn how to fly a plane. I want to learn Swahili. I just want to be really good at comedy. That's it.
Yeah?
Just really good at it, and people want to come see me, and people like what I do, and people appreciate it, and then I don't get in anybody's way. I just want to be famous enough where, like, I can go to the mall, but I can't go to, like, the mall I always be at. You know what I mean?
So you could go to a mall,
I just want to be at a bar. Like, there's like, you ever have a good set and people walk and, like, you walk through the crowd and people, like, look at you and kind of whisper under their breath? That's a good amount of fame. Yeah. I don't want you to come. Don't talk to me.
Yeah.
Don't talk to me.
Don't want pictures.
Don't, like, try and converse. Don't, just, that dude's tight.
Yeah.
That's dope.
That's a good level of fame to be at. You don't want to, the only thing is, like, getting to that point where you're just too much, you know? Yeah.
No.
No.
No. I just want people to inspire a couple people, change the way comedy is done a little bit, and just kind of, like, fade out to the, you know.
How do you want to change the way comedy's been done?
I don't know. I haven't figured it out yet. If I did, it'd be changed.
Once you figure it out, that'll change it.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
There's comics, I think, change comedy and the way people perceive comedy. I think that's tight when they do that. You know, like a Hannibal.
Mm-hmm.
Roy Scoville.
Yeah.
Bill Burr, Kyle Kinane, Attell, like people like that, where you're just like, now there's a new strand of how we do this because of that person.
Yeah.
Sarah Silverman. And Tina Fey.
Yep. Looking at my wall. Yeah, there's a lot of people that are changing things. And the nice thing with having one nice
Kate
thing
about McKinnon is insane. Kate McKinnon is insane.
So talented.
Insane.
So talented. And I think that there's a lot of people that will be coming up that are also doing different things that are...
It's a great class. Yeah. It's a great class coming up. And I know everyone says that about their class, but, like, there's some real motherfucking monsters coming up right now. Like, you know Chris Redd?
Yeah, I know Chris.
That's the homie.
Yeah,
he's going to be great.
He's so awesome. And he's such a nice guy,
Super
too.
Super sweet dude.
Is what... And that, I really like Popstar. I thought that was hilarious.
Underrated. It's going to be one of the movies that, like, later, it's going to be like a MacGruber.
Yeah.
Where, like, later everyone's like, yo, that was funny as fuck.
Like, yeah, I don't know what, you know, like,
everyone hates Justin Bieber so much that no one wants to see a parody of it.
Yeah.
That was my theory.
Oh.
My theory was, like, everyone hated Justin Bieber so fucking much. They're like, I don't want to see, like, a funny version of that.
But like, Chris Redd's part with the parody of Tyler, the Creator, was just... That was, like, one of the best parts of the movie.
Right, but it was overshadowed by a kid who was being a kid.
Yeah. But I think that... I mean, like, there are other people, like, that did... the Lonely Island guys also did, you know, kind of change the way music and comedy was done.
They changed the way that you can receive comedy. Yeah. They're like the first YouTube dudes.
Yeah. I mean, that's really cool that people now can just create their stuff, put it on YouTube, and someone can see it. Like, that's how Rick and Morty got me. What?
That's bad.
What's bad?
There's so much bad art.
There is a lot of bad art, but some things, like Rick and Morty, got created because this guy created a 5-minute video for his college thing, and Dan Harmon happened to be one of the 10,000 people that watched the video, and he liked it. You know?
Good.
So sometimes it can work.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying put every idea out online.
That's an argument for another day.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for doing the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
It was fun being in your very comfortable bed.
Oh, thank you.
I'm really mad about my bed being so shitty. But thank you.
And good night, everybody.
Am I supposed to get out of the bed at the end of it? Is it like an ending thing?
We just say goodnight.
We said goodnight. Goodnight.
Goodnight.
I'm still get out.
Thanks for listening to Sleeping with Sarah, where I slept with Jack Knight. You can follow Jack on Twitter at It's Jack Knight and catch him at Nerd Melt on April 15th. This podcast is part of the Laugh Factory Podcast Network. Please remember to subscribe and rate and review on iTunes, iHeartRadio, and SoundCloud. We're brought to you by Audible.com. Please go to audibletrial.com/sleepingwithsarah. I'm releasing a new podcast each week. Be sure to tune in to find out who I have in bed with me next. Thanks to Josh Bryant for the music. You can find out more on sleepingwithsarah.com. And please follow me on Twitter at Sarah Albritton. Until next time, good night.